We'll fill you in all the details. Right?
All right. Welcome to the Shape America podcast. I'm your host, Matt Pomeroy. Hanging out with a pretty cool panel right here. Colin Brooks is here with us as well. Hey, Colin.
How's it going, everybody? We just had an amazing keynote with Dean Kliars from Manitoba. And he's going to be joining us here in a minute. And it was all about physical literacy. And yeah, we've just got a panel of guests, leaders within our field. And you guys want to take a second to introduce yourself, and then we're going to just chat with Dean and ask him some questions about physical literacy and so forth.
Sure. My name is Naomi Hartle. Thanks for having me, everybody. I'm excited to be here.
My name is Artie Kamiya, and I'm on the SHAPE board along with Colin and this other unnamed individual who will introduce herself. And we're just very, very happy to be here.
Hi, my name's Terry Drain, and yes, I am on the board with Colin and Artie, and I'm excited to be doing this podcast with Dean.
Right, I mean, it's been a very exciting convention so far. A little hectic on the travel end at the start, but boy, things have just gone so smooth, you know, since that point. And it's been just, I don't know, like I say, just very exciting, very invigorating. And so well run, and just the hospitality. We talked about it yesterday. It's just been fantastic. So we're lucky to be in Boston. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, what day is it today?
We need some Irish
It's Friday,
music.
Right? It's Friday.
It's Friday.
We're all doing the Irish drink right now.
A little bit of St. Patrick's Day here. So pretty exciting stuff. So
I kind of want to hear people's feedback about, like, what is your initial thought from hearing that keynote? Like, I was doing a bunch of head nodding during that keynote. Like, what was everybody else's thoughts?
Yeah, for me, it's the same thing. And just the part about giving students the confidence and the skills and the ability to participate in lifetime physical activity. That's physical literacy right there. And that's what we need to be doing on a daily basis. And, physical activity, daily physical activity is extremely important. But without that confidence and the skills, I don't know where we're going to be. So they both go hand in hand, and it's so important to not forget about that and really know, you know, what's driving students' desire to be physically active for a lifetime.
I like the part that we all have a role to play, and it's not just physical education that's going to do it. It's just going to take a community, a village, and we're all going to contribute and help create kids that are competent, confident movers.
For me, it's just reinforcing the fact that physical literacy is the outcome. The way that you go about achieving that outcome can be through physical education, should be through physical education, tied with physical activity, tied with health education, tied with recreational opportunities, athletics. Anyone can promote physical literacy. Typically within the school, it's the health and PE teachers. But I just really enjoyed that. It's the outcome. There is not a class called physical literacy. Mm-hmm. There are classes called health education and physical education.
Well, it's a unifying cause for the profession.
Right.
That we can all get behind in different ways.
Yeah, and I liked it as I guess it gave me that reminder that I feel like I'm doing things pretty well, but I know that I still need to keep working at it and keep going at it every day. So I guess it did remind me, definitely it like solidified that, all right, I'm doing some things really, really good. But it also reminded me that it does take a whole community to equal a physically literate individual. Like, we need everyone, and we as health and physical educators need to, you know, bring that community together and bring that word to the community, I think. And because it all does tie together, and it's going to take everybody. I have to say one more thing as a parent, because of the slide that Dean showed about the range that a child moves away from their home. It was unbelievable to me, and it was shocking. From 1919, they had 9.7 kilometers, to 2007, they could go 300 meters from their house. And I let my kids play outside, I let my kids run outside, I let my kids climb trees, and I know it's important, but I know that my range is nowhere near what I did when I was growing up. So, well, The man has joined us. Dean, welcome. Welcome.
It's good to see
you. Matt Pomeroy. So nice to meet you. So we are live on the Shape America podcast. We're just giving some quick reflections here. We've got people listening in, and maybe they'll pose questions for us. But first off, welcome to Shape Boston. Thank you so much for your time here. Give us your feelings. Like how you doing?
I was really excited. I watch an audience as best I can, right? And try to react to them, every facial expression, and particularly ones that may be not moving in the right direction, right? And change my talk based on that. But I think I was happy about the buy-in in terms of the concept. I mean, it's early stages, even for Shape America. So I was really happy about the buy-in, and I was trying to give different ways of seeing it. And I think there were different nods in different sections from each part, from the psychological to the physical to the behavioral. Everybody's getting it for a different reason. And so I was happy with how it went.
Awesome. So I got a question. So you, in 2009 is when this kind of all initiated.
Yeah.
So what was really, what clicked for you? Like, what was it?
Well, that was the era where I was, anyway, and this is kind of going around and coming around in a way, the era of fundamental movement skill thinking, which was really very insulated thinking about just developing competency in very sport-based skills, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I was like, that's really interesting, but it's not working.
Yeah.
Okay? And well, could be. So I was trying to say, I believe in FMS, but what's missing pieces? So we then said, well, it's land-based movement. We need really participate in this world. Where I live, you've got to be able to swim. So there's aquatic literacy or physical literacy in the aquatic environment. And then there's ice and snow. Everybody needs to be able to do that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So we really started thinking about multiple competencies in multiple environments. And very importantly at that moment, the social environment. That the fact that can you not move in front of other people, and do you feel comfortable doing that? All these Kool-Aid drinkers in this room feel okay moving in front of each other, but that's not true elsewhere. And I had a great chat with one of the teachers coming by, which I didn't bring up, and she said very clearly to me, I run a female segregated fitness class in my schools. It works. And we went, it has to work, because you're treating a problem that we created in grade 3 to grade 6. 50 years from now, no more segregation. Otherwise, segregation is not a good thing at any stage.
Yeah.
So otherwise math should be segregated. You start thinking that way, it gets really slippery. But is it the right thing to do right now? 100%. We need that because it's a treatment for a problem that we created, we as a whole society, for girls from grade 3 to grade 6. So to me, that if there is a critical time period, which I don't like thinking about that, maybe that is it.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Cool.
Great.
Okay, I'm going to jump in. Dean, this is the fourth time I've seen you. I think you're probably worried that I'm stalking you.
I'm so glad you're a board member now. How's that feel?
Right?
Awesome. I remember how nervous you were to even apply for that. I was so happy that you got it.
Okay,
way to go.
So anyways, that was an epic keynote. Thank you so much. And
very
the
epic.
One slide that I think that I haven't seen before is the one where you show that it has to be a leap of faith.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. I mean, to me, it's... actually, a good friend, Steve Norris, was the head of Winsport in Calgary, so our winter training facility for Olympians. And he says two great slides. That's a modified statement of him. He said, if we wait to be evidence-based, we're never going to actually be able to do change, because we actually can't do systemic RCTs in this. It's impossible to do. We're only going to get fragments of information that point us in the right direction. And I think there's enough pointing in the right direction right now. It's like, on free play alone, there's a billion articles saying this, that, and the other thing. And in the end, to me, it's like, why aren't we not doing this? And yet across the United States, recess is being squashed by governors in every single corner. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So I was going to say, I'm going to speak to that a little bit. So what do you say to folks that make decisions, you know, senators, education leaders? How do you get them to change their thinking where PE has to, or physical activity has to be a support system for other areas? I hear we need to bring physical activity, or we need to increase physical education in the minutes to support reading and writing, and it frustrates me.
Oh, yeah,
so how do we change their thinking? Like, I hear from them, we understand it and we believe in it, and that's all good stuff, but we don't have the time, we don't have the funding, we don't have the money.
Right.
I mean, I believe if it's important enough, you'll make the time,
absolutely,
you'll find the money, right?
True.
And you'll make it happen. But how do we talk to those leaders and get their change their minds.
Right. So, I mean, you have to have a cohesive message, first off, and it has to be coherent with the other groups that are going to be in there chirping in their ears.
Right.
I advocated strongly for you guys to work with health, care professionals, early childhood educators, recreation, and sport people, and saying, hey, we're all at the table here. Getting health on your side is really critical. Oh, yeah. And initially, there's some reactions, and then you let that quell out, and then you come forward with the statement and saying, this is, it's actually... I went to one city recently which removed afternoon recess, and I went in and said, you're actually harming your children by doing that, and I will publicly, I don't like shaming, but I said, we'll talk about this because you need to rethink this, because yeah, you got not bad amount of recess time, but this is, that's it's not just a privilege. And so what we said is, we're gonna go into school systems and say, you can have a state policy, you can have a board policy, and you can have a school policy. Policies help things go in the right direction, but what we're finding is that if you find one school board that actually has a good policy, that's evidenced. And I mean by program evaluation, not by research. And they say, oh, look at all the things, like in Chicago public schools, a drop in violent incidents, blah blah blah. Then you show that to me, and then you get the one domino, and then many other dominoes happen. Then there's some states that just are reacting because they don't have a advocacy group. We use that word in Canada as opposed to lobbying. And and then, you know, you come up to them and say, hey, you're actually doing something that's harmful to people here. And they go, what? And you make it personal to them, etc. Because my favorite thing is find out where they have barbecues and go to have a barbecue with them. Even to actually chat to the politicians in a comfortable way. And if you're not doing that, then when was the last time you spoke to your mayor? When was the last time you spoke to your whatever? To me, it's vital. I mean, not just off the cuff. You have to think it through, and you have to realize that there's a bigger community than just PE. Like even the physios are huge allies in this, and they don't even realize it.
Dean, can you tell me where you get your drive and passion from? Because you're obviously very animated, and you believe in what you.
I think we got a quick selfie going on there.
Yeah,
that's all right. It's always got to be a part of something.
You believe in what you are passionate about. So where did you get that passion?
I lived it. My life was living being physically literate. I didn't know the term at the time, but I was lucky enough to grow up in that era of being a free-range chicken. I was a free-range chicken, and I benefit from that. But to this day, I go around the world literally seeing high-quality physical education or high-quality recreation, not everywhere. But when I do see it, we try to document it and saying, what does that really mean? Because in Manitoba, I have 750 phys ed teachers roughly. How many of them are high quality? It's a different story, right? Let's not talk to percentages. But to me, it's all about showing the efficacy of what we do. System-wide effectiveness won't be there. It's just like saying every doctor is going to be good. They're not. Like, okay, let's show this and saying, what are the necessary conditions to make high quality physical literacy experiences for kids in all the different sectors. And so that's what fuels me, because I see the kids that flourish in it, and I've seen the results, and just seeing their face, or adults post-stroke and total hip replacement, I just go, this is a really good way of thinking, which is really just tying all the things together. So I'll stay passionate, I'm still optimistic, and I ain't retiring anytime soon.
Thank you.
July 1st, 2030. First 2030, 12 noon. 11:59, I'll answer the phone. 12 noon.
Durability, man.
Durability.
So you've got a little time to get a hold of them, yeah.
It's just amazing.
I'm a parent of a couple of young children, and I really appreciated the thought process behind it. Like, obviously many, many things stuck with me, but the thought process behind the slide that started off the range how far a child would go away from their home, 9.7K, down to, what, 300 meters now. And, you know, my kids, no electronics, no TV. Like, they just don't. They don't want to, which is the craziest part. And I love it. But they're climbing trees, they're running around, down through the backwoods. But I am. I'm a scared, nervous, cautious parent about how far they can go, where they can go. I guess, what's your advice out there to those parents, and how can we get all those, you know, kids being active? And I guess from a parent's side and from a physical educator side, like, do you have some thoughts just what we can say and what we can do and how we can keep improving that?
What a great point. I mean, in the end of the day, some communities have actually, if you let a 12-year-old or under free range by themselves, they'll actually have the police involved, their child and family services.
Right.
That is actually happening. They're removing balls from the field because somebody got hit in the head with it. To me, it's there is always risk in life, and it's really risk management that we need to do, and we should not be risk adverse. Liability makers need to be influenced by us at the decision-making process, not after the fact, because they're generally uninformed. I do circus in schools, and the reaction initially is how we get the elephant into the room, but we don't bring in elephants. But there is an elephant in the room, which is the fact that they're worried that they're going to get hurt. Well, no, creating durable people. And we're going to do the right progressions for the children, just like forward roll or a backward roll. We're going to teach them how to run backwards. But for parents, it's like take them out to the outdoor world. You don't have to be fit to be a role model. You have to be a person who will facilitate activity. Let's go out. Let's actually value it and go for the walk. And you know what? You'll feel so much better at the end of the walk. And but hating this thing, hating the devices in our lives.
He's holding his cell phone.
Yeah, my cell phone in my hand.
The camera didn't catch that.
I don't like vilifying objects. It's really our attitudes and values that precede behaviors. So it's me like, what's valuable? I said we're a slow kill, inactive thrill society. We're the greatest spectator society on the face of the planet. Every Olympics is obesogenic because of the fact that there are more people watching Olympics than participating.
Yeah.
And so for weeks on end, it creates an activity because of the broad spread multitude. I don't watch the Olympics, and yet I train Olympic athletes at all. Not even a minute.
Okay.
Oh, you're non-patriotic? Okay. Did you watch Air Rifle? No, you didn't. Are you non-patriotic? I mean, it's a foolish thing. I'm a spectator? No, I'm a participant.
Yeah.
I'm a person who helps participants at every level. So to me, it's not spectator land. It's participation land. And I, you want to watch hockey? Go right ahead. But you had better balance that out with your activity side.
Yeah, and I loved how it's facilitating. You know, like, and I think that's key. Like, I can't let them go on that road that's 45 miles per hour, but I can take them to that park, and I can let them be, and I can let them go, and I can let them explore. So, yeah, you can go with them. So taking them to those places that continue to encourage.
As a parent, you can go walk around and say, hey, okay, it's your time this week to supervise on this play structure, and here's the box of tools. Go. I mean, I love bringing kids into a gym with nothing in it and letting them experience running around just going, and then they hear the echo for the first time.
Right.
And everybody says, oh, throw an equipment there. No, they've never run free range before. Let them free range for a little bit, you know, et cetera. And then they all run around and they kind of go like, oh, that was kind of cool. What next? Et cetera. But to me, it's like, it's not like I don't, like, you know, I grew up at hopping fences and stealing people's carrots from their yards and things like that. I'm not saying we go back to that.
Yeah.
Because we are in a new culture, right? So it's not like go back to being Amish again, and nothing against the Amish, love them, but in the end of the day, it's like it's just a new way of thinking. It's making time for activity. Scheduling efficacy is the most important thing. Making that time, having a constitutional walk with your family, I mean, taking that valuable time. I took one comment to a family. I said to them one time in jest, I want you to flip over your couch and your lazy boy, because you'll actually have a family again. And one person took me seriously and actually did it. 2 years later, a three-page letter saying how it transformed her life.
That's awesome.
But it's not the couches and evil. I mean, it's like down with couches. No, it's the attitudes and values. So to me, it's like I'm not thinking conservative family values here. I'm thinking just spend time doing the things that are valuable for movement and loving this world. If you're not connected to the world, how can you love this world?
Mm-hmm. So, Dean, you talked a lot about how skills are such an important component to, you know, a person's likelihood of them participating in physical activity as they get older. Mm-hmm. So what happens if, you know, we just participate in physical activity, we just have students, you know, in your opinion, at school being physically active without that skill base? Like, what's your thoughts on that?
Fitness is not physical activity, and physical activity is not physical literacy. They are three different constructs. Mm-hmm. Fitness only arises from participating in physical activity of a variety of types, okay? Because there's mental fitness, social fitness, and physical fitness. Those are different things. To me, physical literacy becomes the gateway. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't restore it at any age. If you're 40 years old, you can take up hockey at any age. That's a new thing. I had one mother say, this is a perfect example of this, mother, the son was worried about the mother and said, here, Mom, here's a three-month pass to go climbing. And the climbing community is very inviting, has a progression and challenge for every level of ability, and is reinforcing to all people. Uh-huh. And the son said something magical, which I hold with my day. He said to her, don't say no until 3 months when the pass was over. Okay. she did that, and now she now climbs twice a week, and then she got the confidence, movement skills, new movement skills that are necessary to navigate the world, and then she became a triathlete. So at any age, this tripping stone can happen, whether you've lost it or gained it. And so to me, it becomes a vital thing that we make. Not, I'd rather have a person be physically proficient than not, but physical proficiency is not physical literacy. If you're just a hockey player, we suffer. There's clear data that shows if you only play one sport, you don't do as well, and you get injured more. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's like, let's become more physically literate. How do you do that? Multi-sport participation, multi-activity participation. You can even, in a training session, add a free play session. That's not hockey. Mm-hmm. Not dry line training. Something different,
the
right?
Russians.
Yeah, so like, why don't we do it? And USA Hockey is doing that in spades. They're better than Canada in doing the implementation of an LTAD model. So for us, I mean, I think new way of thinking. And sport's been monetized heavily. Mm-hmm. So as a result of that, it's 10,000 hours and you'll get a Wayne Gretzky. Well, that's not the game. The game is lifelong participation. My daughters quit dance at 16 because their friends left. The number one and two reason people participate is friend and friendship. Mm-hmm. Fun and friendship.
Yeah.
Like, push that, right? I mean, that's the masses, not the one.
And awesome. Thank you.
No, my pleasure.
Any others?
Dean, in the United States, we have about 200,000 health and PE teachers, K-12, 200,000 professionals. Within our state organizations that in that national shape, we know that we have only approximately 50,000 state members. So we have 200,000 professionals, but only 50,000 state or shape, national shape members.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do to reach the unreached, that 150,000 that aren't professionally connected?
I get that, 100%. The harsh answer is going to be that if you don't see value in the membership,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing you can do to get them in. So the game is saying, what does membership mean to me?
Mm-hmm.
I teach in the faculty of physical therapy.
Right.
I'm not a physical therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, the interesting thing about that is that they ask me, why don't you become a member of the Canadian Physiotherapy Association?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the membership dues for $450,
mm-hmm.
because it'll be a good thing for you to do. Mm-hmm. I says, what's in it for me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because you're a member. I said, well, so what?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you get the journal. Well, I get it as a professor.
Mm-hmm.
What's in it for me?
Mm-hmm.
So the game is going to be, doesn't mean that they have to come to this conference, but maybe there's some value-added things that each mm-hmm. member can see that you go, oh, this is worth it, or even a tiered membership,
mm-hmm.
and saying this isn't the amount, but this could be the amount for this type of thing,
right.
and then toy with that to
right.
lost leader them into the door of a full membership.
Right.
And so, to me, I think it is value and return on my investment dollars into paying for my membership dues, which I don't know what that is, but to
right.
me, that's really the game. Instead of browbeating and saying you should be a member, it would be more like, okay, I see why. Why this is
right.
important to me.
And I'm glad that you actually brought that up, because the Shape of America Board of Directors is actually going to a no-fee, low-fee membership.
Nice.
Because we really believe that we need to reach
100%.
The unreachable 75%.
So if there's the 50% that are burnt out,
yeah.
which these guys are having some conversations about teacher
right.
burnout,
right.
there's apathetic yeah. people. I'm so frustrated with the system.
Right.
And you know what? I got like X percentage that are great phys ed teachers doing
right.
a phys ed job. I got some that are apathetic now.
Mm-hmm.
I got some that are doing a job that they only knew what they were doing
because mm-hmm.
they didn't do anything different. And
right.
they could convert. Some apathy people go get re-energized.
Right.
So it's really that's the game of pulling people back that way, but realizing that they are those different sorts of people.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody's perfect. And so I had one phys ed teacher see me 4 times in a presentation of a how-to seminar
mm-hmm.
on physical literacy
mm-hmm.
of class. After the 4th year, he was a 30-year teacher.
Mm-hmm.
After the 3rd time seeing me, he said, I'm going to give this a try. And I
right.
use what's called nonlinear pedagogy, constraint-based learning techniques
right.
in my classes, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he did it, and he said, Dean, after 30 years, I'm embarrassed. Because I now have achieved curricular objectives in half a term that I never achieved in 2 years.
Correct.
By doing
Correct.
Good pedagogy. And but that guy took 3 nose hits
mm-hmm.
to get the point across.
Right. Right.
Good question.
It does take that time. It takes 2 or 3 years to think about things before you decide to do it.
Dead on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a relentless process, right? It's like blue box recycling. Mm-hmm. Catholic guilt kind of spread that thing. I got my blue box out, and okay. Now you're all in with Catholic or anything. I'm not. But in the end of the day, it's like there are different reasons why social change happens, right?
Right.
And the social change models are, you know, nobody's had the grand social experiments. What are they? Mm-hmm. I mean, Jump Rope for Heart is kind of a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a social experiment.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there to create physical activity. It's to create money to flow mm-hmm. in a different direction.
Right.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good reason. But, you know, what are all the social reasons to change? And, you know, Canadians, speaking right. as a Canadian now, want their health care. They don't want their health.
Yeah.
Right.
And that is a vital thing to realize, that I'm not given the time to do the things necessary to be healthy. The only thing that's on the rise in emergency room visits in Canada right now is childhood anxiety disorders. It's on an exponential rise.
I can see that.
And that falls back on, and I don't, phys ed's not the solution. Phys ed's a puzzle piece to solve this issue of managing your emotions with other people. And to me, that's a sell to the politicians.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sell. Hey, how do I do that? How do I contribute in my school to help manage this? Phys ed teachers are typically stretched thin.
Yes.
I will
say this. I know we're kind of wrapping up in a way.
Mm-hmm. We're getting close as they're going
to
be taking things down.
You need to come back to Shape America.
Every year.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it here. You guys are, the Kool-Aid drinkers that we are,
mm-hmm.
we're good at Kool-Aid drinking. And it's really, like you said, how do I get everybody else drinking the Kool-Aid?
Yeah.
And I was actually singing an old Kool-Aid songs last night at 2 in the morning. I was downloading all the jingles from 1950 onward, because
right.
Kool-Aid, Kool-Aid, tastes great. Kool-Aid, Kool-Aid, can't wait.
Yeah.
But the reason why I put on it is, like, these are all the Kool-Aid drinkers. I'm speaking to the converted.
Yes.
Right.
And so how do we do some of the conversion of the other people? And if you listen to me, I'm a bit of an evangelist, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay as long as I can put my hand over heart and being truthful about my science.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with that then. But not every academic should be that either, because they can't sometimes. But to me, it's like, how do you do the best with what your attributes you have? And Shape America's thinking that through and saying, we want more, not because
right.
of money grab, but because
right.
of the fact that we see the value in our greater membership.
Absolutely.
I was going to say real quick, so tell us a little bit about this international conference that's happening and that it continues to grow.
International Physical Literacy Conference in Easter long weekend in Toronto is going to be our largest attended one as far as we can tell. We were overrun with research presentations. We had, I think, 90 slots or something like that, and there was like 150. We were in a short time period from 2010.
That's amazing.
Yeah, from 2010
cool.
till now. It's grown. It's on fire. And literally, we now have a physical literacy research expert group, international now, and then we're going to have a board. We'll probably have a journal coming out in the future. I was meeting here with people actually from across the pond who came just to fly to meet, say, let's have a journal
That's
on
excellent.
Physical literacy. And you know, the whole issue is, how does phys ed contribute to physical literacy? It's just like a language arts teacher contributes to literacy. In the end of the day, we're just one puzzle piece. But I'm a huge fan just put me back on track. The question was?
About the international.
So the International Physical Literacy Conference, lots of nations and on fires. We've got countries are toppling, in essence.
They're killing the lights, they're kicking us out.
We're good. It's
getting close.
In the dark.
Hey, speaking of international, Nathan Horn is listening
yes.
right now.
Nathan Hall?
Nathan Horn.
Oh, okay.
So he's listening in. He's just saying you're a rock star. And
Nathan,
Nathan, we appreciate you listening in, Nathan. So just wanted to give you a shout out. And,
hey, Nathan.
So it's pretty, you know, it's pretty cool to be able to have that. So I guess Dean is, as they're getting ready, they have already shut the lights off on us, and
they're
few things are going to fall down.
Right.
we got to wrap it.
But just could you give one final charge to health and physical educators across the world out there? What are your final thoughts just for them? What we can do from this moment forward here?
Pep talk.
I think it's really important that phys ed teachers see their place in the school system, and that physical literacy is not a phys ed domain, it's a school domain. that how do you get your administrators on side, your principal in particular, and how do you topple your principal onto your side? And whether they're an old physical educator, they're on side, but if they're not, how do I do that? How do I sell it? So that physical literacy is part of language arts and numeracy as much as numeracy and literacy is part of phys ed. That cross-curricular thinking should go both ways, not just one.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
All right.
Well, we couldn't ask for a better speaker here today, and we appreciate you taking the time, Dean, to sit down with us and everyone else around the table here.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Oh, no.
Thanks a lot.
I'm here for you.
Awesome.
We'll see you in Oregon.
Yes, come to
Oregon.
Awesome.
I'll be there.
Awesome.
All right. Dean, any other resources that people can look up or anything
download,
like that?
Go to Movement Preparation. Download the if you type in Movement Preparation, you'll find some documents from Canadian Sport for Life or Sport for Life. And that's kind of a new technique. It's an old document, but there's a new version coming out for injury prevention, durability enhancement, and performance enhancement. The data that we're getting from our trials that we're running on is amazing. It can be used in high school sport extensively, as well as in your classrooms. Really different ideas on how to run exercises differently in a physical literacy way.
Nice.
Awesome.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you.
Official mic drop right there.
Thank you.
Appreciate
thank
your
you.
Time.
My pleasure.
All right. Thanks for hanging out and asking questions, everybody.
I'm already committed.
That's it for the Shape America podcast.
I do that.
See you later, everyone. Thanks for tuning in.
School sport.
Oh, I love it.